You've probably heard the saying that your net worth is in direct proportion to the value of your network. Well, there's two ways that you can increase your net worth. Either expand your network with the right people or be of more value to your network. My guest today is Robert Butwin, and he is the Street Smart Networker, which happens to be the title of his book released in 1994. He's been networking full-time since September 7th of 1990 and has three unique degrees. A TS, an SC, and a CS. That's Talent Scout, Super Connector, and Challenge Solver. Ultimately, everybody is dealing with wanting more of three things, either visibility, credibility, or connectivity. And Robert can help you with any and all of those. Let's get to the interview. Hello, and welcome to Hero Up, the podcast that inspires and challenges you to step up and become heroic in all areas of your life. I'm your host, Tony Stark Pelici, and it's my goal to give you practical, actionable advice and insights into copywriting, mindset, lifestyle, and impact. On this show, we'll explore how to create compelling and persuasive marketing messages, and I'll give you clever tips to make you stand out as a hero. Whether you're an entrepreneur, a freelancer, a coach, or a creative, this podcast is for you. So, let's dive in. Today, I am really honored to have my good friend, longtime friend, brilliant strategist, Robert Butwin, with us. You just heard his intro and all about him. So, Robert, thank you so much for being here with me today. I really appreciate you.
You know, it's a pleasure being with you here today and being of value and service to the people that you're going to share this with.
So, Robert, I want to start out just with a very simple, basic business question. How did you get started in business?
Our family started the high school war cheerleading jacket business in the 1930s. After I graduated from college, I always expected to run the family business. The problem was there's too much family in the family business, and it was my family. But that was what gave me my start until I came to the realization that I needed to pivot.
So tell me what it is that you, so when you said you pivot, like you pivoted to becoming an entrepreneur? Is that what you initially, like, that was that your first pivot, or did you do something else?
Well, I didn't necessarily realize it, but, you know, before I got married, and this was like in the early 1980s, and I was always expected to find somebody that ultimately would be, you know, my life partner. And I met her back actually in 1983 or 1984, but I used to go to nightclubs and bars. And ultimately, my first pivot is, as I was working in our family business, I ended up running a nightclub. Now, there's stories behind that of how that happened, but I came to the realization that I was psychologically unemployable. And then ultimately, I came to the, somebody came to me and approached me in a direct marketing company, and they told me a story about how this fraternity brother of mine, he's a couple years older than me, I'd never met him, but he was making like three times more money in 1 month than I was making in a year. And that grabbed my attention. Now, I wish I could tell you that I was an overnight success, but I wasn't. You know, but again, one of the things I've learned over a long period of time in business, that everything that happens to you serves you as you break through the things that you have to break through ultimately. So that's sort of, you know, how I started. You know, one of the people I sort of modeled myself after was Harvey McKay. He was a 70-year friend of our family, not at that point in time. But in 1983, the Minnesota Gophers, our football team, the college I graduated from, had a, excuse my language, a really shitty football team. I mean, they were bad. You know, they had won one game and lost all the rest. They were outscored by their opponents 3-1. And through his networking ability, he was able to attract, at the time, one of the premier college coaches to come to Minnesota, Lou Holtz. And within 2 years, he turned that program around and they ended up in a bowl game. And so I started to see the value of networking. In fact, I had a conversation with him a couple years ago and he sent me a signed copy of his book, Dig Your Well Before You're Thirsty. He said, don't read this book, devour it. And then hold it up every time you're having a conversation and tell them it's your networking Bible. But, you know, I started to realize the value in networking back in 1983.
That is fantastic. So the power of networking, really, I think today, As we're recording this podcast, one of the top currencies is connection. We've moved in the last decade further and further away from, you know, the old belly-to-belly, face-to-face, getting on the phone call with people, to text and social media and lots of less than personal ways of communication. But connecting is still important. The networking is still important. So how has that lesson served you in your business, in your career?
Amazingly well. You know, when I started off networking, I was what I would like to refer to as ignorance on fire. I didn't know, meaning the fact that this was back, I don't know, 1990 or around then. LinkedIn had just started up, and I just started focusing on getting as many connections as possible. Then somebody said to me, not the quantity of connections, it's the quality of connections. And that really hit a bell. And because really what it's all about, it's meaningful connections. And one of the biggest mistakes that I see people make when they network is they're so focused on transactions. And the real magic happens in collaborations. I mean, you know, one of the friends of mine that I met through networking, you know, and I've developed a variety of different business partnerships, but it's James Feldman. And James has written 16 books. He's a CSP, a certified speaking professional. And, you know, his website, his shift happens, but he has helped some very large companies in trackable sales, increase sales over $3 billion. So to me, everything is based on making meaningful connections, that one-to-one. And I see a lot of times people are making the mistake and they're really focused on quantity, not quality.
Right. Okay. So with your networking, let me ask this about what you have done over your professional career and what you do in your life. I see you as like the quintessential superhero connector in our relationship over the many, many years. The introductions that you've made to me, the incredible people that you've brought into my sphere of influence and connected me with has been phenomenal. But what is it that you do for the people that you work with? What problems do you solve for your clients, for the people that you work with?
You know, virtually what I've come to the realization is most people are looking for either visibility, credibility, or connectivity. And so as a super connector, and I look at myself as a talent scout, you know, I'm always looking to how do I accelerate the like and trust aspect in a relationship? And a lot of the times it's by introducing people to the right people is one way of accelerating that whole process. So my focus is what I can do to create meaningful connections, be it if it's just introducing somebody, sharing my insider wisdom. I mean, one of the things I know that you know about me is I love acronyms, and I've gotten more and more involved with AI. But again, I've made my money, and I made a lot of money, understanding a simple concept, and that's leveraging resources. Now, resources come in a variety of different forms. Your connections are a resource. Your life energy is a resource. Wisdom is a resource. Money is a resource. So if you're clear on your objective, which is to, you know, develop a network of meaningful relationships. And so one of the things I've learned about networking, it's like opening a bank account. You need to make deposits before you can make withdrawals. So the first thing that I do when I'm networking, and it goes back to the, you know, it's USC. That's not the college in Southern California or South Carolina. But, you know, the magic happens when you do your one-on-one. So when you're doing your one-on-one, the first thing that I want to understand about the other person is I want to understand what are they doing as it relates to taking what they're doing to the next level. You know, one of the things I learned from Jim Feldman, and the our initial conversation was like, I'm an out-of-the-box thinker. And he very nicely said, I made my whole living with in-the-box thinking, and it's understanding 3D thinking, meaning the depth of the other person's problem, the distance to the solution, and the determination of them to solve the problem. So every time I'm having a conversation with somebody, I know that there's something if I, first of all, understand what they do and what they're doing to expand their business. That's the U. The S is be of service and value. Can I guide them to resources? Like when March of 2020 happened, I knew that I needed to, you know, I started to recognize online Zoom. So I created a list of over 60 different networking events that are happening on Zoom. You know, I started to realize that there are a lot of people wanted to get in front of audiences. So I started to create a list of podcasts and ways that I could be of service and value. So that's the S in the USC. And the C is clarity in your communication, connecting from human to human, focus on collaborations, not just transactions. Because if you show up and you're that trusted advisor, people, you know, somebody that people realize that they can depend upon you, can they send you an email? And will you get back to them fairly in not too distant of the future, or a text or a phone call? But those are the real meaningful connections, people that will respond back to you.
Yeah, that's really good. So, Robert, when you think about this connection, can you tell me, is there, you've already mentioned Harvey McKay, but is there anyone else that has been an inspiration to you that has really kind of cemented the importance of what you just shared with us in, you know, in the way that you respond and the way that you counsel people?
You know, there was a lot of people. Let me give you a few just to, you know, to start off. It all started by listening to a Wayne Dyer cassette tape series. For those of you that are old enough that remember a cassette tape series, it was How to Be a No-Limit Person. And when I started to listen to that, my revelation was the fact that the limits that exist in my life, I was responsible for them being there. See, once you take responsibility for what is, you can take it for what will be. But unfortunately, most people, or many people, are in the state of denial, and the acronym of denials don't even notice I am lying. So that changed my mindset. And I came across a new way of learning, because I was programmed. I mean, many people, without realizing it, are programmed, you know, based on your parents, your peers, whatever, however you're programmed. But I came to the realization that my natural state of learning was listening, auditory. So then I came across a Jim Rohn cassette tape series. And, you know, Jim Rohn said a couple of different things. I mean, he said so many things. I mean, you know, think about it. He turned Tony Robbins' life around many years ago. But one of the things I remember that he said is, if you can make a living working on your job, you can make a fortune working on yourself. Then he talked about, if people believe the promise, they'll pay the price. So that means when you're communicating with other people, based on your clarity of communication, are you communicating where they understand it? Because the biggest thing you're dealing with is the other person's perception. So that was another one. Michael Gerber was another one. He talked about why most people, you know, don't succeed in business. As I'm listening to him talk about it, because failure was not an option in my mind. So he talks about 4 to 5 businesses are going to fail in the first 5 years. He says of the 20% of you that make it to the first 5 years, don't breathe a sigh of relief, because 4 to 5 of you are going to fail in the next 5 years. And I'm listening to my self-talk. My self-talk was not me. Failure was not an option. But in the meantime, based on what I listened to Wayne Dyer, I started to change my mindset. I got into the personal growth area. Then I came across my first in-life mentor, which was Robert Nodiak. And one of the things he taught me is you have to have the attitude of gratitude. Be grateful for where you are as you're going to where you deserve to be, because we're all going to have different things that come up. And it's the experiences that we get. You know, anytime you're in action, you're going to create some kind of an experience. It's either going to be positive or negative. If it's a negative experience, it's the questions you ask yourself. How is this serving me? You know, if it's a positive, I look at it as a stepping stone to knowing that I'm on the right track to accomplishing the things that I want to accomplish. So, I mean, I've had many mentors over the years. I mentioned Jim Feldman. I mean, we could go on and on, but there's always something to learn if you listen and you're open to listening to the right people.
You know, I love what you said, the Jim Rohn quote. Let me see if I got it correctly. You can make a living working a job. You can make a fortune working on yourself.
Yes.
That is so brilliant. And maybe I quoted it wrong, but it sounds like you've maybe always had, or at least early in your life, were able to shift into a very positive mindset, or the ability to think properly, which really directed a lot of your choices and your actions and pushed you through things. Is that accurate? Did you always have that kind of a mindset, or do you feel like you developed it?
Well, I came across that mindset by listening to Wayne Dyer's cassette tape series, because again, failure was not an option in my mind. And so once I, you know, was out searching, and there's an old saying, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Originally it was indirect mentors, you know, books I read, CDs I went, you know, listened to, or cassettes, seminars that I went to, you know, I went to a lot. I spent a lot of money. And now, for the most part, if you know where to turn, you can find a lot of that at no cost. I mean, I've said from stage many times, I believe it's easier to become wealthy today than any other time in history. But for whatever reason, the numbers are not showing that. But again, you've got to get into doing the proper action.
Right. So what have you found is the biggest obstacle that people set up for themselves when it comes to achieving their goals, be it personal or business?
First of all, just the whole concept of goals. You know, you're setting a target. You know, the biggest obstacle that I find as far as goals is just understand that goal is just a target. You can move it. You can adjust it. It's leading you to the bigger picture, which is your vision, understanding your purpose of why you're doing what you're doing. Like, I was in an event with a guy named Rook, and Rook, you know, somebody asked, you know, Rook, what's the meaning of life? And without hesitating, his comment was to live a life of meaning based on showing up and helping other people. You know, I take a look at everything that's happening in the world, and there's a lot of people that are overselling, under-delivering, a lot of misinformation. In fact, quite often I'll, you know, throw out the fact, there's one thing that I can guarantee you, and almost everybody, and I've not had anybody yet disagree with this, but that we can all agree upon. It's based on all the misinformation in the marketplace, is that we know that we don't know the truth about many things. So you've got to create your truth. You've got to create the things that will help other people. Because again, to me, it's showing up and to make a difference. And that's really my focus right now, is showing up, living a life of meaning based on helping other people.
So Robert, I want to take a shift for a minute here and talk about, you know, people helping people. So you and your lovely wife, Bonnie, have raised quite a few children, right? Yeah. Including grandkids and whatnot.
Yes. Okay. Now that is, yes, then that's quite a few.
So tell me, how do you feel the choices you made in your business life impacted your ability to be a parent?
You know, in retrospect, you know, it's like I was out chasing money. I'm very grateful that my wife took the majority of the role. And like one of the things that we did originally, and I'm taking much more of an active role now, but because I was chasing money, so, you know, part of her philosophy is she wanted to know who our kids' friends were. So we built a basketball court in our backyard, or a pickleball court, so that they had a place to come over here and hang out. So as far as my role as a parent, if I could do it all over again, I would spend more time there. I'm just very grateful that my wife was, you know, that she did anything in as much as she did in everything that she did.
Well, I think that's a very common trait among entrepreneurs, is early in life, we chase money and often don't spend as much time with kids or the ones that we love as we'd like to. You still have very solid relationships, though.
Yes.
With your family. So you did something right. So what is one of the times you look back on, like maybe one of the toughest times in your career? Something happened where you were like, ooh, what do I do now?
Two different times happened. The first time was when I knew that I had to leave our family business, because I was the guy that was always pushing forward and wanting to see changes. Because one of the things I realized, that if unless you're growing stronger, your competition is. So that was one of them. And the other one was just recently. And it was the fact that when my mom died, and I came to the realization that, how do I say it in a very nice way? She was a narcissist. And a lot of who I've become is because I didn't want to be anything like her. And I know that you know my mom. And then my one brother was able to con, and he never has worked any day in his life. And he ended up, you know, convincing her to give her three times more money in inheritance than a combination of all my other brothers. So that was a tough time, because you had certain beliefs. And part of the key thing is understanding what your beliefs are, because, you know, in the middle of the word belief is the word lie. And so some of our beliefs are there to protect us. And then sometimes you find out which of your beliefs that you thought were truths really weren't truths.
Oh, that's really powerful. So one of the questions I like to ask my guests are, You know, if you could go back and talk to 20-year-old Robert or 30-year-old Robert, is there a belief or a piece of advice that you have now that you would share with them to make an impact, to, you know, maybe shift the trajectory of some of the things that were done or help make better decisions? Anything come up for you around that?
Yeah, a couple of different things come up to me. It was like my mom used to tell me I was a slow reader, so I avoided it. She was one of these authoritative kind of parents. And so, you know, I was forced to go to college. I graduated from college, but I really didn't get an education as I went through college. I got the degrees. I got my education after I discovered personal growth and development. You know, I think that was the biggest thing. And the other part of it is, a lot of it goes back to what your younger brother talks about, you know, an elf business. I sort of put a spin on it, more of an elm business, ELM, which is easy, lucrative, and meaningful. So it's what you want to focus on and contribute. Yeah.
So you would tell the younger version of yourself to focus on things that were easy, lucrative, and meaningful.
Well,
and allow somebody else's opinions or labels to impact how you.
Yeah, my analogy is I've got a bunch of fruit trees in my backyard. Now, I get the fact that the fruit at the top of the tree is just as good as the fruit at the bottom of the tree, but I don't like to get up on those ladders. I know they've got things that can reach up to it, but I like the low-hanging fruits. So, but to me, it's about making a difference. You know, I wish I would have known more about that, you know, my life purpose, which is really to live a life of meaning, which I came to that realization a little later in life. The other part of it, who can you really trust? I didn't realize my brother was going to, you know, stab me in the back. It's like I got four brothers. Three out of four of them don't have any, any respect for the one brother because they know who he is. They know what he did. And, you know, you start realizing, who are the people in your life that you really trust? I mean, if I took off my shirt right now, you'd see a variety of different arrows sticking out of my back. You know, there's one of the things I learned early on. We all have certain lessons we're supposed to learn. And until you learn that lesson, life will continually trip you up in that lesson.
Yeah, that's true. It's difficult just being on the planet and in relationship with others, even family, can be incredibly painful at times, and people will let us down. How has your ability to bounce back when you've had, because I know you've had other business betrayals, we've been friends a long time. How have you been able to bounce back from betrayals and, you know, times when people just completely acted out of integrity with you?
Well, the first thing that I do is an expression I learned a long time ago. A person's character is like a tea bag. You never know what's inside of it until it gets into hot water. So my mindset is, okay, I get who they really are, how they're operating under whatever stress or whatever. It's like one of the guys that I help make a lot of money, and I know that you know him, Jerry, and he came across some tough times. I loaned him a bunch of money. It's 15 years later, still haven't collected any of it. So the point about bouncing back, part of it is I go to myself and my wife. You know, she has been such a blessing and a saint in my mind, just like you have, in my life, just like you have. So it's like failure is not an option. I take a look at the word fail for all I've learned. You know, I take a look at it, you know, whatever happens, it's like knowing that I'm going to be a mentor to many other people in the future. So it's like I don't have the luxury of just living an okay life. You know, my mindset is I've got a purpose as it relates to what I'm doing. So to me, I don't have the luxury to sit back and, you know, so to speak, wallow in my miseries or whatever might happen. I look at it as a learning experience. I stay focused on the things that I want to create, you know, and develop a life that, you know, was worth living.
So keep moving forward. In other words, one of the things that's always struck me as really wonderful about you, and you're one of my only friends that has done this year after year after year on a consistent basis. Almost every time we get on the phone and I would ask you, how are you doing? you would respond with fantastic.
Yeah.
Or some version of some positive statement, right?
Yes.
And then as we would talk, you might go in and share a little bit about something really difficult that was going on. But I, you know, like things are getting better all the time. It's like that mindset, that positive mindset that you put out there, it's real. It's not just something that you fake. Like I see that you are very intentional about setting your mindset and looking forward to what's good. I think that's really important because a lot of people do get tripped up feeling sorry for themselves. And there's really no time for that. There's no room for that.
I don't have the luxury of allowing that.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, I know I'm here on this planet. I want to do the best. I want to be able to, you know, I think of people like a Jim Rohn or a Wayne Dyer or, you know, many of these other people, Ted Nicklaus, who I introduced you to. And I mean, look at the lives that they were able to change because of their existence on this planet. And so if you're clear on your purpose and you stay consistent and you're vibrating at a high level and operating at a high level, you have a higher probability of making that a reality. You know, one of the guys I introduced you to, and that's why I love him, and I know that you're going to know who I am, Maury Zukovic, and he's got some amazing technology that can help people either release the things that they're holding on to or stay focused on where they want to go in life. One of the things I realized is that if you're going through life carrying too much baggage, you know, because life is a journey. And if you're carrying too much baggage, it's going to slow you down. So it's number one, recognizing or aware of the excess baggage and then being able to release it so that you can have the transformation and you can help other people have that transformation. It goes back to the art, aware of what's, you know, the reality of what is, releasing the things that are holding you back and the transformation that you go through so you can help other people go through that.
I love your acronyms. You have so many of them. They're really useful. And I'm going to keep pushing you until we have those in a book because they're amazing.
Yeah. I've started on that. You know, I've started to put them down.
I love that.
I came up with another one since you and I've talked, team, because a lot of it is how we're developing a team. And you've probably heard the common one, which is together, everybody achieves miracles. But the one that I just came up with, together, we elevate our intention or purpose. So the E is elevate, attract. The A is attract the right people. And the M is making life meaningful or making this world a better place. So again, together we elevate our purpose or intention so that we can attract the right people because I believe in the synergy of people working together.
Make life meaningful. That's wonderful. Fantastic. So let me ask you this. If you had someone in front of you who was like, you know, this, I know you do consulting with people and you help people move into their purpose and things like that. They were saying, Robert, I just don't know what my purpose is. I just don't know what I'm supposed to be doing here. I'm just lost. How do you respond to someone like that? How do you help people get in touch with what their purpose or their mission might be?
Well, you know, you can ask them different questions. What are you really good at? What are you passionate about? What do you see yourself doing? You know, if you're not even going to make any money because it's just a love of what you're doing, you know, again, it's trying to figure out and if need be. And again, we could go to, you know, AI, you know, and ask Perplexity. You know I introduced you to Perplexity and it's like virtually any question.
Yeah, fantastic tool.
Yeah. So, I mean, with all the information out there, it's just getting clarity. One way or the other. I mean, I got my purpose by listening to tapes. You know, again, it's an expression I learned in Asia, same, same, but different. You know, there's similarities and differences from every human being. So it's trying to figure out as it relates to, you know, their belief systems, you know, what's going on in their world as it relates to where they would like to be. And then you've got to figure out how to make that happen. You know, and it could be just guiding people, you know, to the right things. That's one of the things I wrote in my book. You want to create interdependent, not codependent relationships. How do you guide people to information that will allow you can be there as, you know, and put the right frame around the information that you suggest, because, you know, there's a lot of people that have different ways of saying it and will relate differently to different people. So, I mean, that's part of what I do. You know, I try to guide people to the right information. I mean, Simon Sinek, why? You know, begin with your why. I mean, it's an amazing series that he's done. I mean, there's a lot of good information out there.
One of the questions that I've heard asked is, you know, what is it that you would do if money didn't matter and you could just do that? Now, you know, some people will come up with silly answers like, well, I'd sit on the beach all day long and, you know, eat chocolate or crazy. But, you know, even in the fantasy like that, there is an element of what might be your purpose, right? So somebody that would say, I'd sit on the beach all day long, maybe their purpose, maybe their mission has something to do with, you know, being in that kind of environment. Maybe it could be service-based. It could be, you know, opening a surf shop, a dive shop, something where they're near that beach. But what I've seen an awful lot of, at least with the advent of social media, is people really just kind of being lost, not knowing what their direction is. Society, in my perception, is so focused on looking what everybody else is doing. And like this FOMO, you know, comparing themselves to everybody else's, you know, little social media life, where their people are only showing the best parts of their life, the most exciting parts, contributes to maybe younger people coming up and feeling lost. Have you seen that play out in any of the younger people that you've worked with?
I do see it playing out, but let's go back to the first question that you asked. What would I do if money was not an object? Exactly what I'm doing. You know, showing up and making a difference where I can make a difference. You know, do I work with people that are younger generation, older generation? Me, it doesn't make any difference. As long as somebody is serious and committed about making the positive changes necessary that will allow them to create, to take what they're doing to the next level. That's, to me, you know, the most important part, because there's, you know, there's multiple different ways to be able to do that. And I've got to figure out how to plug in as it relates to what's going on in their life, what they're comfortable doing. You know, I believe in multiple streams of income. There's, you know, I've got multiple different sources of income coming in. But it's all about relationships. So the two most important parts of my life when I'm talking to people, are you serious and committed about wanting to take things to the next level? And are you coachable?
Coachable is huge. How many times have you been in a situation with somebody who kept asking for help, but every time you offered them some coaching, they refused to take the coaching?
You know, I've got two people like that in my life. one of them, whenever they call me, I never even take their calls anymore, because I know that they're not going to listen and they're just calling me to pitch me on something. The other one, and I'm not going to name any names, but it's like every time I have a conversation with them, we'll spend whatever amount of time, it's usually more time than I want, on the phone with them, and the conversation goes nowhere. But part of the key in everything that I've realized is you've got to be clear on your boundaries. And I'm getting more and more clear on my boundaries, because my time is too valuable. And if they're not willing to make the adjustments, I'm not going to allow myself to spend that much more time with them. But I'll be polite about everything.
That's really important.
Well, it's been a couple weeks, and I know I'll hear from him again. It's just a matter of when. And I know the conversation's going to go just like they have in the past. But, normally I won't give them more than 5 minutes anymore.
That's good. So what kind of suggestions do you have for people around protecting their time?
You know, there's a book out that seems to be very popular, that's very good at that, called Atomic Habits, working with a calendar, understanding your boundaries. Make sure that if you're investing your time into somebody else, that they are at least, you're seeing some kind of measurable results in a reasonable period of time. Another thing that Jim Rohn used to say, you know, he used to ask the question, how long would you want your son or daughter in first grade? And then he would respond, 1 year's enough. That's why they make the desks so small. So if somebody's not progressing based on your ability to communicate good advice, it's like, why are you wasting your time?
Yeah, that makes sense. Absolutely.
You know, I'm more patient than I should be.
So I've been that way too. You know, the older I get, the less patient I am with things. And for me, that's because of a sense of urgency. My sense of urgency has increased as I've gotten older. I recognize when we're young, it feels like, or I'll speak for myself. When I was young, it felt like I had all the time in the world.
Yeah.
And as you know, the years tick on, I realize that that's not true. And I want to make the most of every day. I want to make the most of the time that I have and, you know, making an impact. So, well, it's great to be charitable with people and gracious with people. You know, for those of you that are listening right now, if you are spending an awful lot of time with people that are not helping you move the boat forward, or you're pouring into them and they're not doing anything with that, with the energy and the time that you're pouring into them, the right thing to do is to move on. I had a conversation with a lady a few weeks ago, and we talked about getting the right people in the right seats. And, you know, it's, she said something, she goes, I really am supportive of helping people on their life journey by moving them out of my company if they're not a fit. And I thought that was a great way to look at it.
Yeah.
There are times we have to support people in their life's journey by moving them on to somebody else because I can't help them. They're just, yeah.
Yeah, that's a funny story because I did that with a common friend of ours. Her name starts with an S, but in the meantime, this was one of those two people, and I never heard the end of that because she, you know, and I didn't mean.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. But that's a whole nother story. But,
right, yeah, but, yeah.
Yeah, you've just got to
believe it. Some people, you know, they have a difficult time really being self-aware of really understanding how they're showing up and how they're being. And as I've moved forward in my career and my understanding, I spend an awful lot of time doing things. I was a, you know, I'm a great one for lists and checking things off the list and staying busy. But I didn't pay an awful lot of attention much of my life to how I was being, you know, and you've heard the comparison of, you know, a human doer versus a human being. And, you know, it is, am I being loving? Am I being curious? Am I being open? Those are ways of being. It really comes down to mindset. So in talking about somebody who can't take the coaching, that maybe the way that they're being and how they're showing up is a drain, is not productive, is, you know, just spinning around in circles, it's difficult to communicate with those people, especially if, for all intents and purposes, they're good folks, but they just don't have a lot of self-awareness of how they're showing up.
You know, I think it goes back to marketing 101. You know, in marketing 101, there's a 34-letter word, which is T-E-S-T. And so it's, for example, when we're talking to people, like we're talking about, and you give them an assignment, like, for example, go to YouTube, Google Jim Rohn, Take Charge of Your Life, and listen to it. Let's have a conversation. I would like to find out what was relevant that you listened to. And if when they come back to me and they haven't listened to it, it's recognizing that they're not passing the test as it relates to your time. And again, I'm not going to spend my time because as we get older, time becomes much more precious. And I'm not going to spend my time with the wrong people anymore.
Right. That's great. This is a habit of valuing your time. So let me ask you this, Robert. Is there a particular habit that you developed that has really improved your effectiveness? Something that you do on a regular basis, maybe even a daily basis?
Well, I mean, there's a couple of them. First of all, I'm very in tune to listening because the more that you listen, you can figure out ways to be of service or value. And asking questions, and more of the right kind of questions. As far as other habits, you know, it's like there's certain networking events that I attend to on an ongoing basis. You know, and I don't show up, so to speak, to pitch people, but I'm, you know, and again, I've got an acronym around pitch, which is the P is practice and perfect your presentation. The I is your intention. Your intention isn't to sell somebody in a networking event, but it's to say something where people say, I want to get to know that person better. So the magic really happens when you do the one-on-one. So as it relates back to the question you asked me, I'm in the habit of doing a lot of networking. I'm in the habit of doing a lot of one-on-ones, figuring out how I can be of service or service to other people. So the T is think about who you're speaking with. So the key when you're doing your one-on-one is you ask, you know, some of the right questions as it relates. What do you do? What are you doing to expand your network? Yada, yada, yada. Then the C is your clarity and communication, connect human to human, focus on collaborations, and H is how and why to get back to you. So my habit is talk to a lot of people, be of value to a lot of people. And what that nets me is, number one, I'm developing more meaningful relationships. And I've got a lot of people that will refer people to me because they know that they're going to look good by just connecting people to me, and they know that I'm not going to embarrass them, and I'm going to be of service and value to them.
Yeah, that's great. So let me pivot here as we're coming towards the end of our time together. Robert, I would like you to pause for a moment and think about a particular time in your life that was extremely difficult, and you had to dredge up maybe a supreme act of will or stick-to-itiveness or courage, where maybe for a brief period of time you felt hopeless or like giving up, but you had to reach in and find that hero that's inside of you to get through whatever the situation was, whether it was business or personal, family. Does anything come up for you?
Yeah, there's two different situations that come up for me. The first one was when I was looking at leaving our family business. I had just met, you know, I just got involved with direct marketing, network marketing. I just met the lady that I ultimately knew that I was going to spend the rest of my life with. When I first got involved in network marketing, I dove in hook, line, and sinker. In the first, whatever, 3-4 months, I ended up creating $102,000 in debt, 41 different debts. And the only reason I know those numbers is the lady that I had met was starting to really like me, and she wanted to see where I was financially. So that was one. I mean, I never thought of giving up, because to me, giving up is never an option. You know, I look at myself with the last name, but
right.
When I'm a winner. So, you know, my tagline is, with Robert, you'll do nothing but win. But in the meantime, the second one was, and it happened about 5-6 years ago, and I'm just grateful when I was making the amount of money I made, and I invested into some good investments. But, you know, I went through a period of, I don't know, 4 or 5 years where I wasn't creating the kind of results that I wanted to. But the other part of it goes back to what we talked about earlier, mindset. And I realized that everything that I was going through would serve me, because I knew that I would break through. I didn't know how I was going to break through, but I just knew that I would. And so as I'm mentoring other people, because other people are going to have challenges, whatever they might be, you know, same, but different, expression I think I mentioned earlier. So I realized that as I broke through them, I would be able to look others in the eyes, speak from the heart, be authentic, and be able to be empathetic and say, I get what you're going through. You know, I went through something similar but different. And, you know, you've got to be able to be very authentic with the person, because obviously you want to see this, you want to see them breaking through it. So, and you want to be able to give them some kind of encouragement based on the words that you've got. So I never thought about giving up, but I also realized that I was going to weather the storm and that I would get back on top, because I knew that I deserved to be on top based on everything that I thought about who I was and what I'm about.
That is so powerful. That is so, so powerful right there, is that belief in yourself, that confidence in yourself. How did you move forward in situations where you didn't know what to do next, or maybe you needed more information? Did you have kind of a protocol that you would follow, or did you seek out experts? I mean, what did you do when you were in a place where it's like, I don't know what my next move is? I know I got one, but I'm not sure what it is.
You know, I reverted back to personal growth, listening to different people that have things in the marketplace, number one. But number two, and even more importantly, I've got people, friends like yourself, like Jim Feldman, that I've met along the way, people that, you know, it was a mutual kind of sharing information back and forth. people that I respected, people that had created the kind of results that I knew that I was going to ultimately create. I might not have known how I was, but, you know, I turned to my network. I turned to people that I respected. Today, it's a lot easier because, you know, you've got, as we mentioned before, Perplexity and AI, or you got different things. I mean, I believe for those that embrace and are conscious and aware of what's really happening in the marketplace and do the proper actions, that the sky's the limit as far as what you can accomplish as it relates to what you're doing.
It's so true. We have so many resources available to us now. So Robert, kind of the last couple of things I want to ask you are, number one, is there something that breaks your heart in the world that you're working towards changing?
The thing that breaks my heart is my younger brother, that he did what he did. That, you know, am I going to ever change it? No, because in his mind, he believes he deserves it. As far as breaks my heart, you know, I see a lot of people based on overcharging and not delivering as it relates to what they charge. And I see that dampening different entrepreneurs' dreams because, you know, for whatever reason, they give up. You know, they invested whatever last dollars they had into whatever project and they throw in the towel. So that, you know, and that's part of the reason I don't charge, you know, but the other part of not charging is the fact that I'm looking for that long-term collaborative business relationship because I'm not going to allow somebody to take advantage of my graciousness.
Yeah, that's great. So the next question is, what do you want to be remembered for? When the legacy that you leave, what would you like people to say about you after you're gone?
That based on them knowing me, however well that they had the opportunity to know me, that I was able to make a positive impact in their life.
Well, I can't see how that won't be achieved by every single person that comes into contact with you because you've done nothing but make a positive impact in my life and all the people that I know that you know mutually the same way. So well done, sir. Congratulations. So listen, if somebody wants to work with you or they want to find out more about what you can do to help them. And I love what you said a moment ago about resources. If you needed help, go to your network. It's exactly where we started with what you started building, what your superpower is, the power of connecting with the right people, having a broad network of relationships. And you're very good about relationships. You're consistently calling, you know, over the decades that we've been friends, I can always count on hearing from you. And you're much better at it than I am, which, I mean, stands to reason because you are a super networker. But you really walk your talk. So for somebody that wants to get in touch with you and find out how you can help them, you know, accomplish their dreams, reach their dreams, really make a change, transform, how do people find you? What do they do?
Either the two best ways to find me is just send me an email. It's just my last name, butwin@gmail.com. Or just book a time on my calendar, which is calendly.com/butwin. And just make sure that they reference this event so that I know how and why they're reaching me.
Okay. What are the ideal people to reach out to you? What kind of a situation or a need or like your mindset would they need to have? Who's the ideal person that Robert Butwin can help?
Number one, they're in action and wanting to create something better than what they're creating. And second of all, they're serious and committed about being successful.
Yeah. So if you're watching this right now and you're thinking about just getting on with Robert and having a chat and wasting his time, just don't do it. He's very generous and he's also very committed to making a difference. So I'm going to put those links, you know, if you're watching this on YouTube or another place where there's links that are available, they'll be here below this. But till then, so Robert, thank you very much for taking the time to talk with me today. I appreciate you so much. I'm really looking forward to that acronym book, and I love all the wisdom that you had to share, and I appreciate you coming on and telling us everything that you did today. Thank you so much.
Sounds good. Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right. Well, thank you everyone for joining us, and I'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning into Hero Up. I hope today's episode challenged you to step up as a hero in your field and provided you with valuable insights to express your unique voice and message. If you found this episode helpful and motivating, please leave a review and share it with your friends and family. And remember to subscribe so you don't miss out on future episodes and amazing guests. Until next time, find your voice, share your message, live your mission.